Devotion's probably jealous. So, be ye transformed. Change. Change is something that we all get to live with, and we often don't like it. Many of us here this morning find ourselves in the midst of personal change. And like ourselves, this church, Unity Church of Lawrence, finds itself in the midst of a transition of change. And change is something that we struggle with. But there is a story from the Hebrew Scriptures that talks about change that is so profound, so deep, so transformational, that when we get to the other side, we have metamorphosed into the possibility of being a whole new being. This story is the story of Noah. Now, I am sure that you have a picture in your mind of Noah and an ark full of animals. And Noah listened to God, and so all the beings on the ark survived a cataclysmic flood. And there is always a story behind the story. So you may know the story of the 40 days of rain, but there is a story behind the scenes, and we invite you to that behind the scenes to see what the writer may have left out.
Noah, what is this huge pile of lumber doing in our backyard?
Well, I need to tell you about that, dear. You see, I've started a small project. I'm building a boat.
A boat? What do you need with a boat? You're a fisher, you're a farmer. And you don't even like to fish. And the nearest lake is half a day's journey from here. When are you going to find time to go fishing?
Well, I need to tell you about that also. You see, God is bringing the water to us. You know, I believe there's going to be a huge deluge, and I'm building this boat so that our family will be safe.
Have you been drinking?
No! This is what I have been getting in my meditations.
Dear, have you asked God for some guidance, for some confirmation?
Confirmation? No. Would you go to your inner guidance and see what you get?
Well, all right, but don't start building that boat till I finish praying.
All right, let's see here. One cubit. Two cubits. You know, you would think that I would learn to listen to Rachel. Luckily, I hadn't finished laying the keel.
Dear, there's a small change in that boat of yours I'm getting from my inner guidance. It needs to be a little bit larger.
Larger? How much room do you, I, the three boys and their wives need?
Well, that deluge of yours, it's actually going to be a flood of epic proportions. And we need to take along two of every animal on the earth. Now, don't worry. Spirit is going to provide the animals, but we need to be ready. That boat is going to be more of an ark, three decks, and a roof.
Oh, my. Will you help me?
Of course, dear. Well, it took us almost 20 years to build that boat of ours, that ark. And we couldn't have done it without all the help from the boys. Now, of course, the neighbors thought we were crazy. But the whole time, we just stayed centered and listened to our inner guidance.
So as we step away from the story of Noah and Rachel for a moment, you might ask, why do we draw your attention to this ancient myth? Well, the reason that we share this story with you is that because if we read this story through the eyes of Unity Metaphysics, this story is about transformation, our transformation. And transformation takes place in consciousness. And then from our consciousness is reflected out into the outer world, into the events of our life. So transformation is symbolized by the ark of consciousness. And Charles Fillmore connected consciousness with our spiritual growth. In The Revealing Word, which is a metaphysical dictionary of terms, he writes in his definition of consciousness that divine ideas must be incorporated into our consciousness before they can mean anything to us. An intellectual concept does not suffice. We must ever seek to incorporate divine ideas into our mind. Now, I believe that the key word in that definition that I read is the word incorporated. It is an action verb. Now, divine ideas, they're represented by the animals in the ark. Divine ideas have to be incorporated into our consciousness before they mean anything to us. You know, that just simply means that we have to work with these spiritual truths in our current life to make them real for us and to prove their truth. And once we do that, they then become the foundation of the life from which we create. So, consciousness. The first thing that Noah and Rachel did was to listen to God, to that inner voice of spirit. And once they had listened, they had to listen with both the mind and the heart. You see, when we metaphysically interpret a story, the male character is almost always represents the logical thinking part of ourself. And the female character almost always represents the feeling intuitive part of ourself. And Unity knows that it takes both the thinking and the feeling parts of our nature together in harmony to go past that ego self and listen to the voice of spirit that is within us. And so once our thinking and feeling natures combine and agree, they then have to take the next step to become willing to step into the unknown. And what an act of faith that is for us. It's probably the largest act of faith we have to do in this whole transformative process, is to step into the unknown, not knowing what lies before us. And yet Noah and Rachel are willing. So let's return behind the scenes and find them on the ark.
Noah, come in out of the rain. What are you doing out there? Look at you. Huh. How much longer do we have to be on this ark?
I don't know, dear. You know, it's been raining for 20 days, and I think I saw a break in the clouds.
Sure. Have you heard that song the boys have been singing? It goes something like, rain, rain, go away, come again another day. They sing it as they tend to those animals. Oh, thank goodness for those boys. Oh, speaking of animals, I think the llamas and camels need to be separated before they injure each other.
What deck did the camels end up on?
Second, right next to the pigs. Oh, and why you had to bring those, I have no idea.
God sent them. I couldn't say no. You know, it's the mosquitoes I don't like. It's all I can do to stop from swatting them when they come buzzing about.
Well, let me tell you, I did not know what I was getting into with this project. The rain lasted for 40 days, but the boat ride was just starting. We were floating for 6 months. I was beginning to worry that our provisions wouldn't last for everyone. And thank goodness for those boys and their wives. There was so much work to do on that ark.
You know, when I imagine going through a storm on a boat, I was thinking of floating and waiting, kind of peaceful, you know. I did not realize how much work was involved in waiting on God to transform the world. Rachel, I've been thinking, what if we sent out a bird to see if there was any land? I was thinking of the raven.
Now, dear, the raven's not very dependable. If it was up to me, I would choose the dove.
You know, I need to learn to listen to Rachel. After waiting for a week on the raven to return, I sent out the dove. When it came back with an olive leaf in its beak, I knew the wait was almost over. Thank you, God. I'm getting tired of cleaning these stalls.
So let us step out of this story one more time to see where we are. We have had our ark experience. We now know that we can go to that ark place within us, that place of spiritual connection with God, whenever there is the appearance of chaos around us as we go through the floods of our lives. As we go through the floods, when we walk this spiritual journey, we don't get to get out of those floods. Those floods are what help us transform. Chances are, like David said, we're all in a state of transition over something. Perhaps a change in relationship with our partner, with our job, with anything about our health as we age, with our finances. But as we're going through that change, what we can do is affirm the positive and help rise above the negative. So as we take this understanding out into the world, we have the opportunity to look at the second part of this metaphysical story. And the significance here is with the three sons. They represent the three states of consciousness within us, or the three expressions of us in this world: the spiritual, the mental, the physical. So it's very significant that it was the eldest son that represents the spiritual. Because when we remember to give the power to the spiritual realm, when we remember that that eldest son, remember, in that patriarchal society, had all the power, had all the wealth, when we think of it that way and learn to give our power to our spiritual life, to make that first and foremost, everything else will align in our life, in our day. So as we awaken to our day, let us first think and be in awareness of what spiritual divine idea we want to resonate with that day. Let us set that intention. It may be something that comes to us. It may be the day of the word and daily word. It may be something that comes to us in our time of spiritual prayer, meditation, or sacred singing that we have as our part of our daily practice. But all of that is part of strengthening that ark, making that ark stronger. So when someone says to you, what exactly do you do at that Unity Church there in Lawrence? What I want you to tell them is that we help each other build our arcs. Now, they might think you're a bit crazy, but then, of course, they might come just to see what we're talking about and to experience the wonderful spiritual practices that we learn here that strengthen our awareness of that connection with God. The spiritual, the mental. In 2009, How God Changes Your Brain was their book. Neuroscientists Andrew Newberg and Mark Waldman from the University of Pennsylvania reported on the detectable, measurable effects on the brain brought about by spiritual practices and religious rituals. They had many conclusions, but three of the key conclusions I wanted to share with you this morning were: one, that spiritual practices enhance the neural functioning of the brain in ways that improve our health, our physical health, and emotional health. Two, intense, long-term contemplation of God and other spiritual values appear to permanently change the structure of those parts of our brain that control our moods, that rise to our conscious notions of self, and shape our sensory perceptions of the world. How powerful is that? And third, that contemplative practices strengthen a specific neurological circuit that generates peacefulness, social awareness, and compassion for others. Through spiritual practice, such as meditation and spiritual ritual, we are transforming and renewing our mind as we connect more with God, our true spiritual nature. So we have the spiritual dome, we have the mind, and we have the physical. And to me, what I've come to learn on this spiritual journey, that the physical is about the vibration that we are resonating as in this world. After all, science has proven that this body that appears so dense is actually wave particles in movement. So this coming week, before we interact with anyone, before we engage in a conversation, a text, an email, an intention, I want us to be aware first, to step back, just like Russ sang about, step back and be aware of what vibration you are about to send out into this physical world. Is it a vibration that will send forth our true spiritual nature? Is it resonating with love and peace, joy, abundance? Or am I coming from a place of lack, of separation, of anger, of fear? I have the chance to change my mind when I step back and be aware. And in this physical world, I've also learned in this spiritual practice that one of the best ways to bring it all deeper inside is through service. And the opportunity that, there's so many opportunities here, I was so glad to see that, of service. But one that is really resonating with me to share with you this morning is that the opportunity coming up on Saturday, September 28th, to be part of the experience of LINC, a wonderful organization that has been here in Lawrence for a while, to help serve those people that are in transition. We have the opportunity to show up as love, of peace, as abundance. We, Unity, we do abundance really well. So when you leave the sanctuary today, what I want you to do, when you go down the hallway and you go past the display for that activity, I want you to send it love. I want you to send it thoughts of abundance. I want you to see how you are being called to serve that, whether it's to sign up to bring food, to serve that day, perhaps, I don't know if you have it set up yet, but I just feel to offer people that can't be there that day the opportunity to donate so that people can go purchase food with that money and share it that day. And another thing that was coming to me is if you are called to serve that day, if that is yours to do, I want you to intentionally invite someone to come with you. There are all kinds of people out there in the world wanting to make a connection with other human beings, sometimes not knowing how. And sometimes the word church drives them away. But I want you to offer them this opportunity to come together in service with other human beings, to share. Be ye transformed by the renewal of our mind, bringing the spiritual I am into the mental and physical activities of our lives. We will be transformed. It will transform us, and it will transform any community that we are a part of. So let us rejoin Noah and Rachel behind the scenes.
Rachel! Rachel! It's time! We're ready. Are you ready?
Oh, be patient, my husband. Everything has to be just right when we go into the new world, into a step into God's new way of being. Haven't you felt how loved we are?
Oh, yes, I do feel God's love. And I am so ready to get out of this ark. You know, the work, the waiting is done. It's over. It's time to start. I can't wait to go out and begin a wonderful new life in this world that God has prepared for us.
Well, I'm eager to start too. And I don't regret the time that we've spent here in the silence, in the state of rest, to create a new way of being. We are as different from the people we were as the world is different.
Yes, Rachel, I agree with you. We are different. You know, I even listen better now. And I have had a new vision starting to evolve in my heart. I believe we are going to make some very different choices in the future.
I agree, dear. All right. I'm ready now. Let's go out. Noah, look, a sign in the sky.
Oh, look, it's God's rainbow in the clouds. A covenant of renewal. Boys, open the pens. Let them all out. Now is the time to begin our new life.
We give thanks for all God's blessings.
Thank you, God. And so, what can this story of Noah and Rachel tell us about our own transformative process? Well, it starts, I begin with not necessarily choosing when our transformation process gets to start. But once it has started, the very first thing that we need to do is to listen to the voice of Spirit within for guidance. And once we listen, then we get to be willing to have that faith to step in to the process. And once we've made that step, we get to do the work. The work that God gives us to do in order to transform. And then finally, to trust. To trust that there is a world of unlimited potential that God has just waiting for us to step into. And so Unity Church of Lawrence, in our process, has the opportunity to do the work, to be willing to step with faith into what is ours to do, so that when we come through the transformation, we have a whole new way of being, and we will be transformed and blessed. So as Sabrina comes up and Gary prepares to lead us into a time of meditation, Unity's Holy Communion,